Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read about a blessed man. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This blessed man in Psalm chapter 1 is blessed for five reasons. And we're going to talk about those reasons today. He's blessed by how he walks. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's blessed by where he stands. He doesn't stand, nor standeth, in the way of sinners. He's blessed by whom he sits with, or with whom he sits, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's blessed by what he delights in. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And he's blessed by what he thinks about. In his law doth he meditate day and night. So we're going to talk about this blessed man today, and we're going to examine these five reasons that he's blessed and make sure that we understand them carefully and trust the Lord to help us to apply these in our lives, so that if there's an area in our lives where we're not doing what this man did, we can make the change. You see, if you want to be a blessed man, and I'm not speaking gender specifically, in other words, I'm addressing men and women. If you want to be a blessed man, then you must follow his example. Notice, a blessed man is careful about how he walks. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, an ungodly man would be an unsaved man. And an ungodly man who is an unsaved man is going to give counsel concerning his opinion, concerning his experience, concerning his knowledge, concerning his wisdom about things that might direct you in a way or in a direction that is contrary to God. And you don't want to go that way. In other words, there are a lot of well-meaning people who would like to help you, who might advise you to do something that's contrary to God, even though they are not trying to harm you. They might be, with all they know, because they're not saved, with all they understand, they're giving you the best they know. But listen, if they're not saved, if they're not walking with God, then it is likely that the counsel they're going to give you is contrary to God. You see, they have to be walking with God in order to give you counsel that would help you to walk with God. Let me give you an example. It's one that I really like in the Bible. I seem to keep going back to this all the time, but in 1 Kings chapter 22, Jehoshaphat has gone down to meet Ahab. Ahab wants to recover his border at Ramoth in Gilead. 1 Kings chapter 22. The king of Israel in verse 6 gathers the prophets together. There's 400 men. And he says to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Now listen, these prophets are prophets of the groves. You'll find in examining the prophets that advised Ahab, there were prophets of the groves and there were prophets of Baal. There were 450 prophets of Baal, according to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19, and there were 400 prophets of the groves, according to the same verse in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. These are the prophets of the groves. And the reason that they're here and not the others is that Elijah killed the prophets of Baal after that episode on Mount Carmel. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 40. All right, so these prophets are giving Ahab counsel, and they're saying, as one man, all 400 of them, go up, and fight at Ramoth Gilead because you're going to prosper. But you know something? These men are not God's prophets. They are ungodly men. And Jehoshaphat in verse 7 says, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him?" And there was one. There was a fellow named Micaiah in verse 8. And when he comes in and advises the king or prophesies to the king, he tells the king that if he goes into that battle, he's going to die. In 1 Kings 22:17, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel recognized. He knew what the prophecy was. He said, "Did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil?" He prophesied the truth. He prophesied the truth. And if Ahab had walked in the counsel of the godly instead of the counsel of the ungodly, he would have died. He would not have died. So you see, it's very important that when you go to get counsel from somebody, you're trying to figure out what you ought to do. It is very important that you don't get counsel from the ungodly, but that you get counsel from the godly. A blessed man is careful about how he walks. That is, if he sees people walking in the counsel of the ungodly, like Jehoshaphat did, he is not going to follow them. He's not going to follow that counsel. The counsel of young men in school is that you date and you find a pretty girl and then you go and begin to experience together those things that are only reserved for marriage. Okay, that's the counsel of the ungodly. And you know what? A man who is blessed, he will be careful not to walk in that counsel, because that's bad counsel. He's going to walk another way. Now, just like Micaiah, one against 400, when a man walks contrary to the counsel of the ungodly, they're going to point him out as a prude. Prude, that's the root of a prudent man, a wise man. They're going to call him a Jesus freak. They're going to call him some sort of name to belittle him. They're going to wonder why he won't go out and do the bad things they want to do. But the reason is, he's not going to walk in that counsel. He's going to walk in the counsel of the Lord. And the counsel of the Lord right here says, don't walk in that counsel. A blessed man is careful about how he walks. But I'll tell you something else. He's also careful about where he stands. He says here, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1:1, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He will not stand in the way of sinners. Very important. Very important. You see, the way of sinners is the broad way, and the way of the godly is the narrow way. Well, the broad way is the convenient way. It is the most traveled way. It is the path of least resistance. It is the most convenient way. And when a man, what will happen when he stands in the way of sinners, a couple of things will happen. The mass of people going that way are going to carry him down like a boat in a stream. He's going to get caught up in it, you see. If he's standing in the way of sinners, he is going to observe what they're doing. His eyes are going to see those things. And when he observes what they're doing, you know what those observations are going to do? They're going to entice him. For instance, when you watch television and you see these commercials that are on television advertising things, the whole idea behind that is to get you to buy something. In other words, you observe until you desire, and once you desire, then you buy. So what happens when a man stands in the way of sinners? He's standing in a bad place. Why? Because sinners are doing sinful things in that way. And if he stands there long enough, he's going to go along with them. Proverbs says, let not your heart envy sinners. Well, what happens when you're seeing all this going on, you're thinking, man, I'm getting ripped off. We don't get to do this kind of stuff at home. We don't get to do this kind of stuff at church. You know, my preacher's talking bad about these kind of things. And you get to where you're not desiring the things of God, and you're desiring the things of sinners more. You know what you need to do? You need to quit standing there. Quit standing in the way of sinners. You take a person that says, you know what, let's go, they're Christians, let's go someplace where we can have some recreation and entertainment. Okay, they fly to Las Vegas and stand around in casinos watching people gamble. What do you think is going to happen to them in time? Well, they're going to put some money in a slot machine, and they may decide they like that and do some other things. You know, you don't want to loiter. You don't want to stand around where in the way of sinners. You know what you want to do? You want to go and get around some godly people and stand with them, like standing in a church, standing as the Bible is read, standing to sing the hymns of God that draw you closer to him. Don't loiter. Don't stand around. Don't get in the path. Both of these two admonitions right here at the first, the walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners. Man, I'm telling you, when you read Proverbs tells you when you see that way, you turn from it. You don't get near it. You get out of the way. Why? Because if you get over there and start noticing that stuff like the prodigal son did, you're going to want some. And it's going to take you down. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 say, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. You see what he says? Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. He said, don't you even get near that place. You get to Proverbs chapter 7, a bad thing happens to a young man that is void of understanding. And you know why it happened? He got out into the wrong way. He was a man of void of understanding in Proverbs 7:7. And you know what he did? He passed through the street near her corner, the corner of a strange woman. He went the way to her house. Well, you know something, man? You take a young man void of understanding and put him on that way, he is going to get in trouble. A blessed man won't do that. He won't stand in the way of sinners. He'll get out of that way. Here's another thing he'll do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, so he's careful about how he walks, nor standeth in the way of sinners, so he's careful about where he stands, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's careful about whom he sits with. He's careful about that. Because you start sitting around there in the seat of the scornful, and you're going to pick up the things they say. Scorners are those who scorn the wisdom and judgment of God. And I'm going to tell you something. That is not a crowd that you want to be around when God lowers the boom. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, the Lord says through wisdom, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Who is he addressing? He is addressing simple ones and scorners and fools. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. They won't do it. Scorners scorn judgment. They scorn wisdom. So he says in verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have said it not all my counsel, with none of my reproof. You know what I'm going to do? Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You're thinking that God would come to your rescue if you've scorned knowledge and wisdom and judgment for a period of time. No way. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. I won't answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's a beautiful passage, and yet a very strong passage, and a very scary passage. It's one of the worst signs of God. When you need him the most, he just sits there and laughs at you. Why? Because you started hanging around scorners in their seat and learned to scorn judgment and wisdom and knowledge. I'll tell you where the seat of the scornful is today. There are a lot of places. I'll tell you, college classroom that's a awesome seat of scorners these days, particularly when they are touting their evolution and denying creation and laughing, calling people who believe in God arrogant and foolish. Let me tell you something. You do not want to pick up that habit at all. Because what will happen is you get comfortable sitting in that seat, and then they welcome you into their group. You're going to have a hard time convincing yourself to get loose from that. As a matter of fact, you're going to become comfortable there. Listen, you either take your seat in the church pew, or you take your seat among the scornful. That's right. You take your seat at your father and mother's foot, or you take your seat in a jail cell. That's right. There are so many people today that have scorned mom and dad that are now sitting in a jail cell. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of scorners in a lot of different places that are bad company for you. And the blessed man says, I want to be blessed, so I am not going to sit in that seat. That's a bad seat to sit in. I'm going to take my place at my parents' feet. I'm going to take my place in my church pew. I'm going to take my place at the place where I have my private devotions. And I'm going to get in this book, and I'm going to learn about God, and I'm not going to scorn him. I remember when I got in the banking business, There was a seed of the scornful among those that would like to get together sometimes after work and talk about the business. Well, I learned a lot about the business, but I also picked up some bad habits. I'm going to tell you something. You be careful. A blessed man is careful about whom he sits with. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. You got it? All right. I'll tell you what. A blessed man is careful about something else. A blessed man is careful about what he delights in. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 2, his delight, the blessed man's delight, is in the law of the Lord. You know something? There are a lot of people that delight in a lot of things that don't have anything to do with the law of the Lord. There are very few people, Christians, as a percentage of all those who profess to be Christians, that read the Bible. They don't delight in the law of the Lord. They don't. They delight in television. They delight in their music. They delight in their movies. They delight in their internet. They delight in their cell phones. They delight in their social media. They delight in a lot of things, but they don't delight in the law of the Lord. And then they wonder, how come I'm not blessed? I'll tell you why you're not blessed. Because a blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. I'll grant you that when you first start reading the Bible, it's not an easy book to read, but never was intended to be. It's not that you couldn't look up the vocabulary, any of that stuff, and it's not that the Holy Spirit isn't there to teach you. It's just it doesn't talk like television and movies and social media and Twitter and all that other stuff. It doesn't talk like that. It talks like God. And when you don't have an appetite for the words of God, at first it is difficult to read. You know what I say? Read it anyway. Get Alexander Scorby reading through the King James Bible and get you a King James Bible. Just start reading and let him read so you can hear the pronunciation and help you keep going and get you a good diet of that thing going. Why? Because in time you'll start delighting in the law of the Lord. That's what happened to me. I didn't like classical music. And somebody said, years and years and years and years ago, as a matter of fact, I bought it on cassette tape. They said, there is a cassette of classical music for people who don't like classical music. Because I was listening to the wrong kind of music. So I got that tape, and I played it till I wore it out. And you know what? I began to get a real appreciation for classical music. Why? It took me some time to delight in it. A blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. And if you're not delighting in the law of the Lord, that may very well be the reason that you're having trouble finding the blessings of God in your life. I'll tell you something else. Not only is a blessed man careful about how he walks, he's not going to walk contrary to God by following the counsel of the ungodly. He's careful about where he stands. He's not going to stand in the way of sinners because he'll get sucked into it. He's careful about whom he sits with, because he doesn't want to pick up their habits and start scorning like they do. A blessed man is careful about what he delights in, because he knows if he starts delighting in the things of the world, then he's not going to delight in the law of the Lord. And he's also careful about what he thinks about. A blessed man is careful what he thinks about. Listen, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Doth he meditate day and night? Listen, have you ever had trouble with your thought life? Most people do, whether they'll admit it or not. I had a terrible time with my thought life. And what has made it better? You know, we're not 100%, we're not sinless, we're not fully sanctified, but I'll tell you what's made it better. These two things right here, delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating in that law day and night. Listen, thoughts are going to drift to images that you've seen. Thoughts are going to drift to emotions that are stirred up in you. Thoughts are going to drift to the things that you lust after. And what will happen is you'll find yourself, let's say, on your knees praying, and your mind will drift over to whatever you like to do, golf, tennis, sin, and whatever in whatever form and fashion that takes, traveling, whatever the case may be, anything but staying concentrated and meditating upon the Lord. And you think, man, what in the world am I going to do about that? Well, the Bible has a lot of instructions, and this lesson today is not on how to control your thought life, but I'll say this. If you will start meditating day and night in the law of the Lord, you know what's going to happen? That meditation is going to occupy your mind more with the things of God. And when you delight in His law, you're not going to want other thoughts of other things, harmful or harmless, to occupy your mind. You're going to want your mind holding on the things of the words of God because you're going to like them. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Meditating upon the law of the Lord is one of the greatest ways to start thinking like Philippians 4:8 and to bring down those strongholds and to get those thoughts under the obedience of Christ. So a blessed man, you want to be blessed? A blessed man is careful what he thinks about. He gets his thoughts on the Lord. He gets his affections set above. He meditates in the words of God. Well, if you're not reading the Word of God, certainly you're not going to meditate upon the Word of God. There's nothing to meditate on. You're blank there. Can't emphasize this enough. Listen, I tell you what, if there are blessings to be had from God Almighty, I want in on those. If there are blessings to be had from God Almighty, I'm sure that you want them coming your way too. This man says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season, or in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wouldn't you love to have a life like that? Well, the way to do that is to follow the five things this blessed man did in Psalm 1. Be careful how you walk. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Seek counsel from the godly. He's careful about where he stands. Don't stand in the way of sinners. You're going to drift down their way. He's careful about whom he sits with. The companion of fools shall be destroyed, but he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. He's careful about what he delights in. Delight in the words of God. And he's careful what he thinks about. He gets control of his thought life because he's meditating upon the laws of God. Listen, I pray, really, that God will bless you and you'll be a blessed man or blessed woman. Follow these things. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.